Good morning, Kodiak. The time is now 1 minute before noon. I'm Kavitha George, and you're listening to KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM. It's 52 degrees in Kodiak today and overcast. Today should be mostly sunny, though, with a high near 59. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy, lows around 48. East winds around 5 miles per hour, becoming south after midnight. Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 56, and southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night and continuing into Friday should be mostly cloudy. In Homer today, it's 57 degrees, and fair today, mostly sunny and highs near 64, and up in Anchorage, it's 51 degrees, some patches of fog. Today, isolated showers in Anchorage after 1 p.m., then partly sunny with highs near 63. Quick look at the marine forecast for today. From Marmot Island to Sikkanaak, there's variable winds of 10 knots with seas at 6 feet, and tonight, variable winds of 10 knots, seas at 5 feet. Chiniak Bay today, variable winds of less than 10 knots, seas at 3 feet, and that's continuing on to tonight. Although seas will subside to 1 foot after midnight. Marmot Bay today, variable winds of less than 10 knots, seas at 3 feet, and tonight, east winds of 10 knots in the evening, becoming variable less than 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. Shelikof Strait today, variable winds of 10 knots, seas at 2 feet, and that continues on through tonight and into Thursday. Cook Inlet, Calgon Island to Point Bead, a small craft advisory tonight. Today, variable winds of less than 10 knots becoming southwest 15 knots in the afternoon, seas at 1 foot building to 3 feet in the afternoon. You're listening to KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. One day after burying his big brother George, Philonis Floyd is challenging Congress to take immediate action to protect black lives during encounters with police. As NPR's Kerry Johnson reports, Philonis Floyd made an impassioned plea to the House Judiciary Committee today to make sure his brother did not die in vain.
Philonis Floyd says he looked up to his big brother, whom he calls a gentle giant. He says he's tired of the pain he's feeling, and he's asking the House Judiciary Committee to try to make it stop.
People of all backgrounds, genders, and races have come together to demand change. Honor them. Honor George.
The Minneapolis police officer who kneeled on George's neck for nearly 9 minutes has been charged with second-degree murder. But the Floyd family wants to make sure nothing like that happens again. They support a proposal by congressional Democrats to create a national standard for police use of force and to develop a national registry of officers who engage in wrongdoing. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
Police Chief Madaria Arredondo says change is underway in the Minneapolis Police Department.
I am immediately withdrawing from the contract negotiations with the Minneapolis Police Federation. I plan to bring in subject matter experience and advisors to conduct a thorough review of how the contract can be restructured to provide greater community transparency and more flexibility for a true reform.
President Trump, meanwhile, is resisting calls to defund or disband police departments, but he says he wants to talk about justice, health, and economic disparities. The White House says Trump will outline an initiative addressing these persistent factors when he meets with religious, law enforcement, and small business leaders at a church event in Dallas tomorrow. A court-appointed outside counsel says the Justice Department should not be allowed to drop its case against Michael Flynn. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports President Trump's first national security advisor had pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI, but now claims he was set up.
In a scathing new court filing, former federal judge John Gleason says that the Justice Department's motion to drop the case against Flynn should be denied on two grounds. The court-appointed counsel says the government's stated reasoning for dismissing the case is not credible and is disproven by the department's own filings earlier in the case. And Gleason says the government's actions here are highly irregular and are clearly meant to benefit a political ally of the president. The presiding judge in the case, Emmett Sullivan, appointed Gleason as outside counsel to oppose the department's move to dismiss. In his filing, Gleason recommends Sullivan deny dismissal and instead move on to sentencing Flynn. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
The Dow closed down 143 points, or more than 0.5%. You're listening to NPR News. The commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan says they're ahead of schedule in drawing down American troops to 8,600 by July. But General Frank McKenzie says the Taliban have not yet met all the conditions required to pull all U.S. troops from Afghanistan by next May, as outlined in a U.S.-Taliban peace agreement. The European Union recorded the lowest number of asylum applications in a decade this April as governments closed borders due to the coronavirus pandemic. Joanna Kakissis reports that refugee advocates fear governments will use the pandemic to suspend asylum law indefinitely.
The number of asylum applications dropped 86% in April compared to the number filed in February. The EU shut its borders in March to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Several of the 27 member states also suspended the right to claim asylum. Shabia Montu, spokesperson for the UN's refugee agency, says this undermines refugee rights.
If the right to seek asylum is not upheld, there is a real risk that human rights norms and policies will be undermined in ways that will take many years to rebuild.
The EU has made it more difficult to seek asylum in recent years because of deep divisions among member states on migration. For NPR News, I'm Joanna Kakissis.
Johns Hopkins University disease trackers report more than 7 million people around the globe have been or are infected with coronavirus. The disease has killed more than 400,000 people worldwide. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is committed to their clients, team members, and communities. Resources for people experiencing financial hardship are available online at rocketmortgage.com.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
And now look at local and statewide news. Kodiak Emergency Services Center confirmed a third case of COVID-19 in Kodiak today. According to a release this morning, the individual is a Kodiak resident who recently returned from out of state. Kodiak public health officials are in contact with the individual to ensure self-isolation and care. A contact investigation is ongoing to identify anyone the person may have been in close contact with. As the state starts to see a rise in COVID-19 cases, officials continue to advocate Alaskans maintain precautionary measures. Keep your circles small and your social gatherings limited, wear a mask in public, and maintain social distancing between you and others. Wash hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, especially after using the bathroom, before eating, and after blowing your nose, coughing, or sneezing. Clean frequently touched surfaces and objects daily. This is a developing story. KMXT will have more information during the 5 p.m. newscast. The filing deadline for state elections passed last week, and while the general election is months away, the primary season is now underway. A season that may be a little on the quiet side for Kodiak's legislative districts. Jared Griffin with KMXT has this preview of the primary elections.
Kodiak's incumbent state senator Gary Stevens filed for re-election for the District P Senate seat that he has held since 2003. When asked why he decided to run again, Senator Stevens in a written statement said, quote, "I pride myself on listening and working closely with local government entities in my district. I know the problems our communities face, the needs they have, and the support they deserve from the state," unquote. Stevens said that if elected, he would introduce bills to give the fishing industry tax credits for finding new processes and products for Alaska fisheries, to assist high school students in their college pursuits, to encourage civics education, and to explore opportunities with educational state tribal compacts. Senator Stevens has only one primary challenger, John Bear Cox from Anchor Point. Cox did not return a request for information from KMXT, but on his website, johncoxforsenate.com, he brands himself as, quote, "a patriot, not a politician," unquote. Cox is a 30-year veteran of the U.S. Navy and a small business owner. He supports a constitutional amendment to enshrine the current PFD calculation, revising the retirement system for Alaska teachers to include voluntary Social Security deductions, and eliminating the binding caucus rule in the Alaska legislature. There is no Democratic or other party challenger to the Senate seat in the general election, so the outcome of the District P Republican primary will likely determine who will represent Kodiak in the state Senate. Over on the House of Representatives side, Kodiak incumbent Representative Louise Stutes is running unopposed in her Republican primary. However, she will face a Democratic challenger, Pete Hefner, from Cordova in the general election this November. KMXT will cover that race more closely this fall. Many Republican incumbents in Alaska for state senator and state representative seats are facing primary challengers, but the story is different for Democratic incumbents. Of the 11 Senate seats up for grabs, 8 are currently held by Republicans, and all but one are facing primary challengers. 3 Democratic senators are running again, yet none face primary challengers. On the House side, all but 2 of the 40 seats are being sought by incumbents. Of the 23 Republican incumbents, about half are running unopposed in their primary, including Representative Stutes. Nearly all of the 15 Democratic incumbents in the House are running unopposed in their primary. The primary election for both parties will be held August 18th and includes the primary elections for U.S. Senate and U.S. House of Representatives. For KMXT News, I'm Jared Griffin.
6 more Testamina Ferry crew members have tested positive for COVID-19, state officials said on Tuesday. That brings the total number of COVID-19 positive crew members on the Alaska Marine Highway System vessel to 7. Over the weekend, a crew member on the state ferry tested positive for coronavirus in Unalaska after showing mild symptoms, just hours after the vessel arrived on the island. The Testamina returned to Homer late Monday with 41 people on board, including 6 passengers and the isolated COVID-19 positive crew member. Upon arrival, staff from Homer's hospital boarded the ship and tested everyone on board. The 6 additional crew members who tested positive have experienced minor or no symptoms, DOT said in a statement. They will remain in isolation aboard the Testamina, which isn't scheduled to return to service until June 27th. The remainder of those on board that tested negative were cleared to leave the ship, provided that they had their own transport and agreed to self-quarantine for 14 days. DOT says an unspecified number of crew members would remain on board to keep the ship running, but would remain in separate areas of the 296-foot ship. State health officials had originally said they'd identified 16 Marine Highway employees as close contacts of the initial COVID-19 case on board. Of the 6 testing positive, 4 were part of that group, while 2 were not. Officials recommend anyone recently aboard the Testamina wear a mask in public, avoid contact with others, and get tested for COVID-19 within the next 2 weeks. Another Alaskan has died from COVID-19 after more than a month of no fatalities linked to the disease in the state. The person was a patient at the Providence Transitional Care Center in East Anchorage, the site of the state's largest coronavirus outbreak. The patient tested positive for the disease, was hospitalized, and died on Sunday at the Providence, Alaska Medical Center, according to a spokesman for Providence. He declined to provide the patient's age or information on any underlying medical conditions. The patient is the 11th Alaskan to die from the virus. The state announced the death on Tuesday, along with another double-digit increase in coronavirus cases. By the end of Monday, 11 more Alaskans had tested positive for the state, so had 2 more seafood workers from out of state.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Halibut surveys get cut back due to COVID-19. More after this.
Grundins urges everyone to buy seafood directly from community-supported fisheries at localcatch.org. Your CSF purchases will help U.S. fishing towns thrive. Grundins, supporting fisheries around the world since 1926.
The annual 3-month survey of the Pacific halibut stock will have a reduced footprint this summer due to constraints from the coronavirus. A total of 898 stations will be surveyed by longline gear, down 30% from the originally planned 1,283.
We're going to maintain sampling in the core regions where the vast majority of the stock reside. And so while it's important to still sample those peripheries, we are still going to be sampling, I think, about 74% of the known distribution and biomass of the stock.
David Wilson is director of the International Pacific Halibut Commission, Commission, which oversees the stock from the West Coast and British Columbia to the far reaches of the Bering Sea.
We decided to remove all satellite survey stations within Regulatory Area 2A, so that's Washington, California, and Oregon, and then also the extremities for IPHC Regulatory Area 4CD&E, so out the Pribilofs, and then also out in Regulatory Area 4B and 4A, which is out near Unalaska and ADAC. We also thinned out a little bit in 3B, and then also the stations off Vancouver Island we also decided to remove this year.
The survey duration also was reduced to July 1st through August 31st instead of starting in June for 11 chartered vessels, down from about 17. Wilson agreed that missing data increases the level of uncertainty in stock assessments, but said the IPHC believes it's acceptable for 1 year.
The other thing to note, of course, is that we do undertake this on an annual basis, and I don't think there are any other surveys of this nature on this scale that undertake annual surveys, which then feed into annual stock assessments.
Find links to halibut and salmon catches and more at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Fish Radio is supported in part by Joy Crafts, specializing in marine safety equipment. U.S. Coast Guard approved AMC instruction for commercial fishing vessel safety procedures and drills, serving Kodiak for over 25 years. 486-6293 at 445 Shahafka Circle.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Welcome to this noon edition of the Island Messenger. In Kodiak today, it's 52 degrees and overcast. Today should be mostly sunny with highs near 59, north winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 48, east winds around 5 miles per hour becoming south after midnight. Thursday, mostly sunny and highs near 56, partly cloudy on Thursday night, continuing through Friday and Friday night. Saturday should be mostly sunny, highs near 57. In Homer today, it's 57 degrees and fair. Today, mostly sunny and highs near 64. Calm winds becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in Homer. In Anchorage today, 51 degrees, patches of fog. Today, isolated showers after 1 p.m. Partly sunny, highs near 63, and calm winds becoming west around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. A 20% chance of precipitation for Anchorage. Tonight, mostly cloudy in Anchorage with a low around 47. South winds around 5 miles per hour becoming calm after midnight. Thursday, isolated showers after 1 p.m. and partly sunny skies with a high near 63. Looking at the marine forecast for today from Marmot Island to Sikkenak, today variable winds of 10 knots, seas at 6 feet. Tonight, variable winds of 10 knots, seas at 5 feet. Chiniak Bay today, variable winds of less than 10 knots, seas at 3 feet, continuing through tonight, although seas will subside to 1 foot after midnight. Marmot Bay today, variable winds of less than 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. Shelikof Strait today, variable winds of 10 knots with seas at 2 feet continuing through tonight and Thursday. Cook Inlet, Calgon Island to Point Bead, small craft advisory tonight. Today, variable winds of less than 10 knots becoming southwest 15 knots in the afternoon, seas at 1 foot building to 3 feet in the afternoon. West of the Barren Islands, including Kamischak Bay, today variable winds of 10 knots with seas at 2 feet, and tonight southeast winds of 15 knots with seas at 4 feet. East of the Barren Islands, today variable winds of 10 knots with seas at 6 feet. And tonight, variable winds of 10 knots, seas at 5 feet. Today is June 10th. Sunrise this morning was at 5:11 a.m. Sunset tonight will be at 11:09 p.m. That is 18 hours flat of daylight, which is 1 minute and 31 seconds more than we got yesterday. The record high on this day was 72 degrees in 1974. The record low was 35 degrees in 1997. Looking at our tides for today, high tide for Kodiak will be in, actually low tide is just about now actually, 12:14 p.m., negative 0.55 feet. High tide will be in at 7:01 p.m., 6.63 feet, and low tide will be out again a little past midnight, 12:10 a.m., 3.09 feet. Over on the west side, low tide's at 12:39 p.m., 0.51 feet. High tide will be at 7:13 p.m., 12.91 feet. And low tide will be out again 1 a.m. exactly at 3.86 feet. Let's turn now to our next ADF&G announcement.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 1, date issued 10 a.m. on June 6th. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, June 9th, until 9 p.m. Thursday, June 11th in the Northwest Kodiak District. The following areas will open to commercial salmon fishing at noon Tuesday, June 9th, and remain open until further notice. The Inner Katoy, Outer Katoy, Duck Bay, and Iziut Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area, and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, beginning at noon Tuesday, June 9th, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purseine deer in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters will be reduced in the following locations. In Fowl Bay, to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406. In Waterfall Bay, to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822. And to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821. And in Katoy Bay, to the fish and game markers located at Little Katoy Bay and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252323 and 252324. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations and Statistical Charts. Harvest strategies and Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour quarterphone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.